Welcome to Towards a Smarter World. This is your host, Cruz Saunders, and I'm joined today and so excited to be speaking with content leader and innovator, Simon McAvoy, the global head of content services for Anaplan R&D, which is a cloud-based business planning and decision-making software company. He's got 15 years of content experience across communications, digital experience, tech docs, training, and now leads a multifunctional content services organization with a laser focus on the customer experience. And that is why we're here, the customer experience. Content is ultimately in service of and creating that which touches our customers, our employees, our stakeholders, our shareholders. It does work in the world. And Simon, as a content leader, has been working to shape the organization around content at his company. And Simon, it's so great that you're here. Thanks for joining today.
Hi, Cruz. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the time.
Well, I'd love to just start out with passion, which is, as we work through the ins and outs of content day to day, it's sometimes full of challenge and full of needs that are requiring a lot of focus in order to get through, whether that's problem solving supply chains, organizational issues, politics, connecting up systems, structuring and managing templates, and all the ins and outs of content orchestration. There's just so many details to lead. But when we zoom out, what's the bigger picture for you? Why are you attracted to this field of working with content and leading its function?
For me, the challenges that you talk about are very real, and nearly everyone listening to this will be familiar with them. But communication and talking to customers, prospects is absolutely critical. We really need to nail and improve the situation that we currently have, where there's literally a fog of content out there. There's so much content out there that it's becoming harder and harder for folks every day to work out, well, what should I read? What's good? There's just too much of it. And the quality out there isn't great. So my passion is to find really great people to work with and provide digital experiences, content experiences to really help fit the purpose, help our customers, help internal employees, and ultimately save them time. Nobody has time for anything anymore. And this comes back to that fog of content. If there's any way we can be clear with people in what we're trying to help them do or what information they want to do, we need to do that. And that simplification, the challenge of doing that, is something that really drives me. I love words, and words are really important. Although I think not everyone is a content professional, not everyone understands content, but I think it's safe to say that everybody out there can tell the difference between good content and poor content. And that could be an instructional documentation that helps them do something really quickly and smoothly without problem. Or it could be a company telling you in a really concise, clean, informative way what their product does. So it's this drive for simplicity and creating, you know, almost being like a puzzle that really gets me excited.
Beautifully expressed. And it sounds like the essence of communication, which is using words as and pictures and ideas assembled in order to enrich the lives of those that consume it and also advance the communication objective as well. So there's this move that I'm hearing inside of you toward really helping to impact that customer experience and those communication objectives through elegance and doing content right, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. And the future excites me. We don't know what we're going to need content-wise, but we know we're going to need to know what our content's for, who the audience is for, what's the purpose of the content, what's the quality of the content. We need to have enough metadata about the content to let machines bring content together at the right time, for the right purpose, for the right person, the right audience, and the right destination as well. I'm a big fan of the efficiencies of single sourcing content and then using it somewhere else for the efficiency and cost saving, or maybe part of that content. So it's critical that, in my mindset anyway, that we create content in this way that we can use it for anything. We look at web experiences, digital experiences, and I think the future isn't about a static web experience that someone, a creator, a web designer, thinks that the majority of people will want to use, because chances are you're only going to get a narrow majority that want to use it. Most people may not like it. So the future's about these dynamic experiences. And your content journey might start at the web. It might then continue in virtual reality or the metaverse or in the product that you're using, somewhere in a store if you're going to make a purchase. So the traditional content experience journeys that we talk about are just going to grow and become even more exciting and more futuristic. And we need to prepare for that now.
So content has been defined as that which is contained. And I think what you're speaking with to at this point is this idea that content has the message itself, but also the containers it lives within that need to be managed. So we're managing the strategy, the message itself, and its editorial dimension. But we also, as content leaders, have a responsibility to manage the containers that the content comes in, the forms it appears in our customer experiences, the forms that it appears inside of our systems that manage the content. And so containers have different levels and shapes, right? There's content models and taxonomies, and there's also containers like actual physical places where content lives, like content management systems. So you're managing various kinds of containers, including the organizational container that manages content. Can you speak a little bit to this idea of what content leaders address in addition to the message? Sometimes when somebody says they're in content, the impression is, well, that means the editorial. And it does, but there's all this other dimension, right, that as we're dealing with larger and larger scale organizations, we need to address.
Yeah. What I know you call, Cruz, the invisible world of content. It's absolutely huge. That's a great word for it, because it's one of the big struggles, right? Great content is simple content. And for folks that aren't familiar with that invisible world, everything that needs to go on behind it, the world of content operations, that managing the taxonomies that you've mentioned, designing models that are fit for purpose and then can be reused for consistency, localization as well, it's a huge amount of work. So that is a challenge, because that does require money or resources to do that. So as a content leader, we really do have to make people aware of that hidden world and what's required to make great content. And it's not as simple as just coming up with something in a short period of time. We need to get other senior leaders within the company to understand the investment and why content should be seen as an asset and critically created and managed by content professionals. Most people do learn to read and write at school, and many people can do that. But is it great content? It often isn't, but we still have that challenge of folks thinking that it's a simple thing to do, content. Certainly when I'm at parties and people ask me, you know, what do you do, content? They're astonished when we go into the depths of all the details that we do need to do to drive these efficiencies. It's extremely broad. The world of content strategy on its own is huge. It's about trying to get other folks to understand the foundational aspect, the strategic aspect of content that you need to lay, as opposed to the tactical nature of content, which pretty much every company needs the tactical, but they want the tactical and they want it extremely quickly. Yourself and folks listening will be very familiar with, at some point, they must have worked for a company where folks are building these shiny content experiences. Well, it's let's build a shiny content experience, let's build it really quickly, and then let's celebrate that. And then 6 months down the line, without a operational plan, folks start to wonder why the visitor numbers are going down or they're not driving as many conversions. And most of the time, it is that lack of afterthought, the operational angle of content, the maintenance, the ongoing work, the having key resources, the having efficient workflows in place for content creation, having the right technology that's going to scale to develop the experience. Without those things, and it's very common to not have those in place, these experiences just die. And that's such a shame, because that's huge investments in content to get that experience there. So it doesn't help content to have that and continue to do that. We need to separate the actual content from itself, decouple it from those experiences, so that if we know about the content we've got and we create intelligent content and this big lake of content, we can spin up different experiences on the fly for very low cost. We have the technology to do it. The content's there. We know about the content. And suddenly you drop that initial investment. You're able to be more agile with the experience. You're potentially able to deliver personalization far more easily and at a lower cost than creating these somewhat static experiences.
Wow, you've covered a couple of key business drivers that I think would help executives to want to engage more in investing in the supply chains that handle content. But I'd love to hear more of your thinking and maybe some of your experience, good and bad, challenging and not, the things that have clicked and the things that have been real struggles in your effort to build consensus and interest at the portfolio view of content, you know, looking at content in a bigger lens than a departmental function that is output oriented in a single quarter.
Yeah, so it is a challenge to do that. In most companies, you, for good reason, have completely separate functions, and the folks in those functions are, to a degree, siloed in that area. And the thing that I've been driving with my head of content strategy, Lisa Moore, is that advocacy of taking an approach of looking across the entire company. It's really hard to do because unless folks are measured on that sort of breadth, then they're always going to tend to return to focus on the slice of the experience that they are measured on. And, you know, for good reason, folks are in different functional teams to do exactly that, to focus on that area. But for many people, what we're trying to do to make content operations, for example, successful, and certainly my old content services org, is to get folks to look at the bigger picture, to step up and see the benefits of looking across the journey. Now, many companies will have some sort of customer experience, journey maps and such forth, and many companies are doing a good job of looking into various journeys that maybe from prospect to customer to as how they move through and where content sits. But we're still seeing in many companies completely broken journeys. And these journeys are often hidden. They may require, well, they'll certainly require turning left, right, and going forward and changing to another site in a journey. So there's almost an unlimited set of paths to follow that most people won't see. And certainly execs won't see that. They'll be focusing on the much higher level. And it's these paths that we need to get right. We need to stop having broken journeys. That's been a big challenge to advocate, to get folks to really, care's the wrong word, because everybody that you speak to, when you speak to about the ideal, I don't think anyone disagrees. Nobody's ever going to disagree about how might you improve the customer experience. But actually within a business, to get folks to support you materially with resources to do things or perhaps with money, you really do need to seek out those champions at the C-level, unless you're lucky enough to have a chief digital officer or even a chief content officer. So my advice to anyone listening that is having these issues is really find your champions. They will be there, even if they don't have a wide remit. The more champions you can get together, the more that sort of fills the jigsaw pieces of the support that you need. And one thing that I've found is folks like myself and yourself, Cruz, and anybody that sort of supports creating intelligent content, it's really easy for us to, well, certainly for myself, to sort of feel driven to know what we believe is right and what we need to do. But you have to find a way to translate that belief, hunch even, to various of senior leadership in terms of, if we take this approach, what goals from different functions are we going to be able to support? If you do that, then it's going to be a much easier story. And I've certainly made the mistake in the past of, I am very passionate about content. I do firmly believe that the way forward is content operations. It is all about standards, whether it's semantic or structural standards. It is about automating as much as we can to free up content creators to focus on the content and the purpose of the content for the audience. So I've had to take a step back and think, well, not everyone's as passionate about content as I am. But people are passionate about reaching their goals, their functional goals, the goals for the business. So if That's certainly an angle that you need to hit up. And again, I'm very fortunate that I've got a great content strategy team, and they're able to go in and talk to people about, well, if we did this, if we start thinking about content this way, it's going to make you able to achieve your business goals much more quickly or with better quality, providing a better customer experience. So it can be done. It's just about reframing. Like all we do with all content, is it fit for the purpose you're trying to achieve? So look at your C-level individuals, think about what's going to move them, and then tailor your approach about what you want to do with content and how it's going to actually meet their individual goals, and you'll get support.
Yeah, that battle is for support is one that sometimes is two steps forward, one step back. And I think with many content champions that we work with, there's an ability to make the case, but there's a distraction that then happens as some progress is made. And then all of a sudden, funding that was there moves along with reorganizations, because cross-functional content teams are not yet normal in the enterprise. I do believe they will become more and more normal. But because it's still novel and new for there to be a content services organization of some kind that is cross-departmental, that is has a portfolio across an organization with multiple department stakeholders, we end up kind of re-justifying as new leadership gets added into the executive ranks. Can you comment a little bit on that forward-back movement as you've seen it and some of what helps keep your head up and keep rolling?
Yeah, everywhere I've worked in content, it's been within an organization where content is not the primary focus. So in terms of priority, content rarely makes it to the top of the list because it's not the main functional requirement. So it is very tricky to do that. The changing execs, it's not just changing execs, but changing heads of various other departments. You do find, and I certainly have found, that you are repeating yourself over and over. It will happen that you will have support. You'll put the advocacy, the investment in helping a particular leader in an area. You'll get them on board. And then when they leave the company, you're sort of back to square one, really. And I think I agree with you. I think the only solution there is when we arrive at the point where content is its own function and across an enterprise with its own roadmap. And that's critical because roadmaps are all about prioritization, and content, same for design as well. They need their own roadmaps. They're equally as important as any other function, whether that's marketing, whether it's engineering, whether it's product. They should be peers, and we're still not seeing that at the moment. But I agree with you, Cruz. I think that's definitely going to come. In terms of keeping your head up and not dying of advocacy exhaustion, now, that is a tricky one. I'm not sure I could answer that for everybody, for myself personally. I love playing music, so that always cheers me up. The key thing that does keep me going is growing that support from people, hiring great people that understand content, of doing those small things that will make a big difference with content. It would be great, wouldn't it, if every company had a big content function with its own budget and it could drive its own roadmap and priorities. But we don't have that everywhere yet. So it is often a very slow road to get to where we know we need to be, and that is frustrating, but at the same time it can be done slowly, but it can definitely be done. What a couple of things we've done over the last year is consolidated a number of style guides from across the company into a single company-wide style guide, and that's exciting. That brings you the governance there, it brings you the consistency for the content, improves the customer experience. It makes sense from a financial perspective because you can just have one, streamline the work involved with that, but still do it in a way that involves all the right people from the right content teams across the company. And that's been hard because functional teams will be used to working in a certain way. It might be with a style guide. It might be just coming up with ideas for how they want to do the tone of voice for their content, the ways of working. And some of the concepts that we're trying to bring in with content service organization, content operations model, are all about coming up ideally with these sets of standards across the enterprise. And teams, it's only natural, teams that are working in the way they're working don't really want somebody else coming in saying, hey, well, why don't you work this way? So it's, again, about that advocacy, about explaining to people, well, if we tried these things, it's going to make everyone's lives easier. And I mean the content creators themselves. Certainly, from my perspective, Anaplan, I'm not trying to own anybody's individual functional content strategy. Far from it. What I am trying to do is to support other content teams with these foundational elements that I believe, truly believe, we need to be successful with content and content experiences in the future, and free them up from doing what many would see as admin type tasks and helping folks create workflows that are efficient, that work for them, that can somehow help with the age old problem of waiting for SMEs to do reviews and come back, to supply technology that again decouples, not only decouples the content from the technical side of things or having to ask a developer to make a content change, but to empower content creators to make changes themselves. And certainly we're doing some great work within our CMS, which is a headless CMS, and it's all API driven. But we're doing things to empower the content creators to be able to change things. For example, a table, a simple table. We've created a function where within the content model, the content creator could select one of many table styles. And that means they're empowered to do that. They select a different table style in the web experience or wherever that's going to show up, that style will change. And software developer hasn't been involved in that. So it's about removing these elements and areas of friction for content creators across the company to, as I said at the start, to enable them to focus on their key job of creating effective content.
Yes, I love it. This is essentially a content leader's significant role, is to remove friction for the internal teams as well as for the customer, right? Because the content is enabling fluid or more streamlined experiences, like you talked about at the beginning of our discussion, where we want to create ways that very busy, busy people can get to what they need and understand, create understanding and enact some sort of action or motion in the most efficient possible way without having to wade through our department structure or our arcane navigational system or our obtuse content that's poorly written and incoherent and not well connected to the other content or something that's not relevant to us, right? All of that is a form of friction. The same thing is happening within teams. There's friction happening in between content getting from place to place, from silo to silo, from experience to experience. And all of that friction ends up slowing down our organizations, making us less nimble, making the entire organization less able to generate revenue, serve customers, retain customers, grow share of wallet, and generate shareholder value. So these things are significant portfolio level impacts that come from paying attention to the orchestration of the content assets driving the customer experiences that drive our companies. And that ability that you're describing to connect the dots in a coherent way by introducing systems and patterns, it reminds me of music. It very much reminds me that I don't want to take over anybody's individual content strategy, any one department's content strategy. I want to help them do their job better and remove the friction from those content strategists so that their content can get created according to that strategy, delivered into those systems in a way that's more effective. So as a content services organization, I'm hearing you describe that orchestration function to help music from all the individual players in the orchestra come together in a coherent way. And improvisational music is fine with small numbers of people in small teams serving isolated audiences. But when there's large numbers of musicians with large numbers of pieces needing to perform for many different audiences in many different geographies, you need to standardize things. We need to have a standard around musical theory and what notes we're going to play. And there needs to be orchestration around it in order for all of the pieces to be coherent together. And what's surprising to me is that we're not already at this point. And I think we're going to get there soon. As you and I have spoken about in the past, I think we're kind of at a precipice of this place where content services organizations are widely understood as necessary, but it surprised me how much infrastructure is left to chance around content. We would never do that for a city organization, right? We would create roads and connect parts of our city together, and there would be a centralized function for managing infrastructure. But we handle our content organizations as though everybody's going to do their own electrical systems, their own plumbing systems, their own roads. Just figure it out.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's because it's largely, since the reduction in print, it's not tangible, is it? It's in the ether. The memory isn't an issue. It wasn't like when hard drives came out and you had to be careful how much file sizes were. It's not an issue anymore. So these are these intangibles that don't help the situation. But if you compared it to real life three-dimensional goods, they certainly would be managed and there certainly would be a supply chain. And people would pay very close attention to how real goods to sell would be moved around, the cost of storage, the life cycle of those best before dates and that sort of thing. But it's just trickier to do with content. By the way, I love your analogy with the orchestra. Maybe we should change in content services organization, we call it content symphony organization. It might be more appropriate. But yeah, I think it's this intangible nature of content, and this, again, for folks that aren't content professionals, this misunderstanding of what makes great content and what it really takes to create and get content to surface somewhere. It's the curse of content, because the best content is simple and it's easy to actually engage with. But as we all know, to make things simple is very hard.
Well, yeah. And you know, I think executives want things to be simple. It's like, just get me a website, just get me a campaign, just get me some business outcomes and all this content stuff, just figure it out. And, you know, we don't want to over-involve executives in needing to deal with the details of these systems. What is the level at which it makes sense to educate senior executives about this stuff?
Well, I would advocate for trying to educate and show execs the value of content whenever you can. But at the point you don't get the support that you need, then you only really have one choice, and that is to show by doing, actually doing something, looking for peers in different content organizations within a company and work with them. Very fortunate, we have a wonderful partnership with our community team at Anaplan, and the leadership, the entire team are totally open to the ways of thinking about content, the modern approach, and of sharing foundational aspects, working within a shared taxonomies, for example. So it's finding those people that will support you and building on that. Because like anything, the more people that support you, the more people they can then go and explain and advocate on your behalf. So yeah, that's the way to do it. And that will filter up through the different teams who will no doubt all have different executive leaders. So it is by the actions that you can do and start small and build out until you find yourself in a position where people are listening, and then people will start coming to you and asking you questions and how can we get involved. And we do things like work with other teams and do reviews of their processes and advise on ways of improving content, whether that's a workflow or technology. So it's just about getting out there and advocating. Once you show people a value, in every case, they will get on board. But not everybody can conceptualize the value up front. So it is important not to lose faith. And it's very important to actually do something tangible that you can show people and show the success. You show people who are doing things manually and exporting files, CSV files, PowerPoint files even, and they're emailing them off to a localization vendor and having to manage that in a highly manual way. Show someone a semi-automated way to do that, and boom, you're a winner, because again, you're saving someone time, in this case, another employee, saving the company ultimately in terms of money, but you can't beat that personal value because it's going to get recognized instantly.
Thank you for everything that you do to advance the content supply chain, the content services organization, content best practices, really the state of the art in content. It is driving leadership like yours that really changes the entire ecosystem of understanding around content for everybody. It's pioneering the new way of working with content by working on the front edge of it. I congratulate you for the incredible traction you've made in your career on the forward edge of content. As a last question, what is your vision for what the idealized world of content and customer experience with the involvement of a CSO or a content services organization looks like inside of an organization? If you could have all the funding, all the support that you needed to get content done right, just paint a picture of that enterprise and how it works with content.
That's a really great question. One needs a chief content officer or chief digital officer. It would make things so much more easy. And we are starting to see that. And that's only going to grow. I'm mainly seeing it in the US at the moment, not so much Europe, but I'm sure we will see that. With the content service organization, with the right funding, I don't believe that it necessarily needs to be expensive. So we're talking about efficiencies here. The level of investment is important. You need people. We've proved this that in the last year, after hiring my head of content strategy, that advancements we've been able to make in just over a year with one person dedicated and focused on driving the vision forward has been immeasurable. So yes, there is an investment element. We can't do things for free, or we can't do things without people. But it's about the recognition from an enterprise at the highest level that content is the experience of that company, it is the customer experience of that company. And it's absolutely critical in every aspect of the company. It includes the brand, the value. You're talking directly to individuals in a world where companies, you rarely talk to a company anymore. The only talking and interaction you're doing is with their content. And folks are starting to see this. So content does deserve to be its own function. It really does. And have that priority, because it's key to a company. It needs to be seen as the asset that it is, or the asset that it needs to be, because in many companies, it's not an asset for good reason. Content's poor. The experiences are all broken. Inconsistent experiences. You feel like you're talking to completely different organizations within a single organization. There is no unified experience. There needs to be. And if you get it right, if you provide that unified experience, if you're able to drive efficiencies with content in an agile way and deliver these perfect experiences for prospects, customers, internal employees, then all it takes is that level of recognition and the buy-in from a company that this is something that we need to value and value it as an asset and get the buy-in automatically from other teams, so that where folks are trying to drive a content vision from the bottom up aren't going to die of that advocacy exhaustion. They're already there. Betty there, and folks know that they need to work with you if they're going to propose a new content feature, for example. So it's never always about the money. Do you need some money? But the beautiful thing about this is all about those efficiencies, empowering others to focus on the really important aspects of content. So it's a no-brainer, but it's easy for us to say that, right? We need to convince execs in companies across the planet that content is the future.
And it's conversations like this that move the needle, and the work you do every day and in demonstrating business value. So again, thank you, Simon, for all you do in the industry. And for this amazing conversation, I feel like we could continue this ad infinitum. There's so much to discuss, but we've really, I think, given everybody a lot of good food for thought, especially those who are peers in the leadership of content at various parts of the organization and looking for paths to making content more experienced as a asset, as part of the whole organization and not an isolated orphan in a department, but part of that larger orchestra. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
This episode of Towards a Smarter World is brought to you by A, the Content Intelligence Service. Learn more about intelligent customer experience powered by content strategy, engineering, and operations at simpleA.com.